Everyone's favorite Bad Boys are back together. Obviously, I mean the three of us. Going to talk about Bad Boys for Life.
Is this the first midlife crisis movie with explosions? I mean, for us, yes, but maybe in general?
We've had some with explosive drama, but not explosions. This is also the most chemically enhanced one.
Yes. Yeah. So we're going to talk about midlife crisis on camera and, you know, when the stars themselves aren't letting go.
Is filmed on location with the men and women of law enforcement. All suspects are innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Listeners, welcome to another episode of the Midnight Boys Present, a free podcast. I'm your co-host, Rob, and joined, as always, by my witchy friends, Joe and Duff.
Hello.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Midnight Boys for Life.
Midnight Boys for Life. Thank God there's not a Midnight Boys song that we would just referenced 35 times in this podcast episode.
After midnight, we're gonna let it all hang out.
Before we like dive in, we are talking about Bad Boys for Life, which is the third Bad Boys movie. Now, we have recorded about a Bad Boys movie previously. What I find to be hilarious is both of you, without the other person realizing, has talked to me about it, assuming we talked about Bad Boys 2.
Was that the summer thing or whatever? Why did we talk about it?
No, that was a Patreon.
Here's just how these movies are just the pure chum of the content mill, going back 25 years. I have now seen three of these movies, and nothing about them really sticks with me. Like, I could not tell them apart on first glance.
I know that, like, they'll stand and look at things, and then the camera will go around them in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
That happens in all three of them, right?
That does. Yeah.
Then they talk about the dumb song.
Yep. That happens in all three as well.
And one of them is a little bit more cowardly than the other. Because he justifiably does not want to die.
Joey Pants has had it up to here with these guys, because they're loose cannons.
How could they make another Bad Boys movie after The Other Guys came out? Like, doesn't the opening sequence of The Other Guys make it impossible to do another Bad Boys or another movie like it?
I don't know, but they really effed up because there is going to be a fourth Bad Boys, and they already used Bad Boys for Life. They could use the numeral.
Yeah.
First thing I thought of, I was
screwed
like,
up.
You done effed up, sirs. Yep.
They could do Bad Boys Forever.
Yeah, they
that's
could.
Not as good though.
Not as good as Bad Boys 4. It was, man, Hollywood.
Could have been Bad Boys Live 3 or Die Hard.
I'll allow it. I'm in a giving mood.
Okay,
this movie. To be clear, just to be upfront about this with everybody. This movie sucked.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is one of the worst movies we've ever talked about.
I was delighted that it's just like it's a 2 hour long movie, and because I was like, oh, it's only 2 hours. It felt like I paused it at one point. I was like, there's 48 minutes left.
I was like, are we watching the director's cut television version, where it's like broken into 4 1-hour episodes?
Let's set context here.
Yeah, we should say why, yeah.
Because midlife crisis.
Bad movie, but it does fit the bill very well.
I'm going to try my best to just really quickly tell you what happens in this movie.
I'm actually excited about this because in the torrent I watched, none of the Spanish dialogue was subtitled. And I still don't know if it was supposed to be. So I spent much of the movie wondering why they were so mad at him.
Well,
I don't think it mattered.
I'm not entirely clear why they're so mad at him at the beginning either. Even with the subtitles.
Well, because it's a twist, I guess, right?
Yeah. So we've got this cartel widow who escapes from a Mexican prison because her son helps.
She's a witchy woman.
Her name is Isabel, and her son starts like killing people because he thinks they have the money from his dad or something.
They killed his daddy. Isn't that
I don't
it?
Know. There's a whole kill list he has. And he starts off by shooting Mike Lowry, which is the Will Smith character, which his mom gets mad at him for that, wants him to kill everyone else around him that's related to it. So he just starts... I will say this about this movie. For a movie that's so stupid and silly, there is an absurd amount of blood and absurd kills that happen in this movie, where all of a sudden someone gets shot and, like, just their brains fly out. You're like, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that. That doesn't seem like it belongs.
It really earns that R with no with no nudity. Like
with
it,
no nudity.
It is all squibs and blood flying out.
Lots of it.
So before you get too far into the plot, I agree that this is one of the, even by the low standards of the mainstream action blockbuster genre, very poorly written. But there were parts of this, like any car chases lit up my lizard brain like a
wow. Okay.
like a firecracker. I'm like, ooh, yeah, daddy likey.
I would say that the car stuff, the car pranks are the best part of this movie. Like anything involving physical confrontation or gunplay, pure snooze factor.
Passable at best.
The thing is, when we see Martin Lawrence in a car, I'm convinced he's in a wheelchair.
It looks like he's like his face is blown so far back and his cheeks are so wide. It looks like he's in a Top Gun movie.
Yeah.
Was he trying to do the old like I'll do two jobs at once, and he was simultaneously doing a Big Mama sequel? And, like,
because he looks rough.
So and. I will be fair, there are parts of this movie where he's worse, and that's why I'm wondering, like, was there an entire sequence of this movie where, like, he had gotten stung by a bee? And
he learned he was allergic to seafood halfway through.
Yeah, like, did his EpiPen roll out of his bag or something? Because I was taken aback by the first scenes. I'm like, whoa, what's going on here?
Okay, so Will Smith's character Mike gets shot. He comes back, and so we really learn that Mike Lowry, he's all about, you know, he's a cop guy, single bachelor life, wants to just, you know, be a cop for life, whereas Martin Lawrence's character,
loser,
is more like, I've got kids and grandkids, and I like to lay around and listen to headphones.
I mean, he had a pretty nice house. Like, I was taking the Martin Lawrence route in this movie, to be honest.
I mean, there's no routes to real take, I feel like.
Well, neither is a good goal.
So, essentially, Mike is okay again, and he wants to... Everyone is dying around him.
He's getting everyone he likes killed.
His refusal to just take a peaceful desk job until he's fully vested in the pension cost the lives of many people he apparently holds dear.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be fair, I don't know if you knew, like, you know, if it's on him where it's like, if you don't taste this desk job, everyone you know will die.
Well, if he's not running around, Joey Pants doesn't get gunned down. Like,
that's true. That's true. But, I mean, Joey Pants is about to retire anyways. I think they would have gotten him either way. Joey Pants, they were out for Joey Pants.
Was he on the list?
I don't know. The list is, we never find out who's on the list. It just, you just see people die and you assume they're on the list.
Here's... One of many things that is colossally stupid about this movie is that the list is people who put the witch's husband.
Yep.
Like they take him out in a raid.
Benito, I think.
Yeah. So the list is, you know, like judges, FBI informants, people like that. And the Miami PD is just baffled by this seemingly random string of people who are killed.
The cops are not any good. They don't do a good job.
Why is Mike Lowry undercover abroad?
You mean earlier in the movie?
Yeah, because that's how he explains when he figures out everything out.
Guys, if you're listening, we're gonna ruin the twist ending for you. Okay? So don't listen. If you don't want Bad Boys for
Honestly,
life.
Like, experiencing the twist, like, live can cause a brain injury. You're better off hearing it from us.
You find out because...
He sees the eyes of his assailant.
No.
I thought he saw, like, under the helmet, and that's how
That was his first clue. That's
you
how
would
it...
think that's why, but no. it's stupider than that. And maybe this is where you need the subtitles, but maybe not. We find out that the person who's doing all the killing, the son of the widow, is Mike Lowry's kid. Because Mike Lowry was previously with her. And the reason he finds out is during the confrontation at one point, the Armando, the assassin, says, Hasta el fuego.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a phrase that that Mike used to say to Isabel when they were dating, and it's just a made-up Spanish phrase that means nothing. That's how he knows.
Much like this movie.
And this is what you alluded to, that apparently Will Smith, who in the first movie is like a young hotshot, I mean, they both are, but so assumingly before he was with Miami PD, he was in like CIA covert ops or something.
Yeah, that's
like,
what I'm saying. Why is he there?
Like,
I don't know.
He went undercover in Mexico. Like,
he went in there with Sicario.
Then we end up going to Mexico and there's a huge shootout and then everyone saves each other except Isabel dies. And
it's so all, stupid and it feels so long.
It feels, this movie looks, I know this is said a lot, but maybe more than any other movie I've ever watched in my life, everything, especially when you get to the end, just looks like a video game cutscene.
Oh, it's like that it's that Michael Bay aesthetic, which is very weird because he's not directing this one.
No. Yeah, I don't think it's fair, actually, for you to say that this is an amateurish attempt at the Michael Bay look. Like,
I agree.
I'm not a Michael Bay fan, but this movie would look a lot better if he was involved.
I stand for The Rock.
Yeah, and even like Ambulance and movies like that, like they're edited incoherently, but like there's cool looking stuff in it. Do you remember a single thing that was cool looking in this? Like a drone shot or like
All I remember is Martin Lawrence's bloated face.
Martin Lawrence's bloated face is like the Rorschach test for me forever. That's all I'm going to see when they're like, what do you see? And I'm going to be like, the ink block test, like Martin Lawrence's face.
Michael Bay would never, like, he would figure out a way to do a camera trick to make
Would not allow that big of a face in one of his movies. He'd be like, no, we can't. We got to kill him off right away.
He would have said, we're going to delay shooting by 6 months, and then Martin Lawrence would have gone home, and a treadmill would have been waiting in the front of his house.
Yeah.
This movie has such disregard for its audience and any type of emotion that I think this is the first movie I've seen where there is a funeral fake-out. Like, in the very beginning,
yes,
we are tricked for a moment into thinking that we are at, you know, Will Smith, Mike Lowry's funeral, and you cut back. It's like, oh, gotcha. It's Marcus's kid's getting married. It's like, what?
And
come on.
And they got you. Then they do you 30 seconds later when they're like, whoa, he's alive. He's in a wheelchair. And it's like, actually, he's not in a wheelchair. He's fine.
like,
okay.
Like, would it have been any more out of tone if there was a coffin flop? Like, it is, like,
this movie enters it being like, gosh, people are going to be, like, so moved to see these characters reunite again. Which, first of all, that's hilarious. But absolutely everyone involved thought that way, right? Okay, here we go. What, 17 years later. The boys are back in town. Everyone's going to be like so overpowered and overwhelmed by nostalgia that they're just going to be on the edges of their seats waiting to see what happens to these boys. That is the attitude of the filmmakers. And let me tell you, folks,
I think
not a single moment is earned.
I think we could blame COVID-19 on this a little bit. Maybe we deserved it because I was just looking. This movie came out January 17th, 2020. We did an episode on Bad Boys 11 days later, probably because we were like, oh, there's another Bad Boys out. Who knows why we did it?
Now I'm kind of starting to remember that.
Here's a, you know.
And then COVID-19 happened and it shut everything down. And I think, you know, you reap what you sow.
It's just the earth correcting course.
The earth was like, this is the one movie? No. Stop. People gotta stop going to movie theaters now. What can we do?
I think there's something to this.
This movie killed Tenet.
Well, that's fine.
So yeah, this is the top grossing movie of that wonderful year.
Domestically.
Yes.
Our friends from China were able to produce two bigger movies than this one.
And they did that and made the coronavirus? What?
Oh my god.
Man, they were crank. They were just cranking them out that year.
All the hits.
We've become a novel coronavirus conspiracy podcast.
We probably
would make more money doing.
In fairness, we're probably the last podcast to have a take on COVID conspiracies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're probably right. Okay, so what do we want to say anything more about? We gotta maybe tie this into the midlife crisis now.
Okay, so there's two reasons to make a movie like this.
Okay.
One, money. All right, mm-hmm. Mission accomplished. Mm-hmm. Two, ego. In this case, it's got to be both, right?
From Will Smith, yeah, Martin Lawrence?
Like from a Will Smith... I'm mostly going to blame the crime of this film on Will Smith, because what else is Martin Lawrence going
to
do?
Martin Lawrence does not have the pull to make this movie.
Yeah, like, I was going to say, Martin Lawrence, I mean, he definitely has an ego, but no one cares. People still cared, and probably still do, about Will Smith.
So let's try to put... So at the time of this, that when this movie was released, he is 52 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or he's
mm-hmm.
going to turn 52 that year if it came out in January. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, like, you can totally see, like, sort of Will Smith saying, doesn't this movie just scream like an aging movie star convinced that they've still got it?
All right. Let me play devil's advocate. I do not know. I did not read about the development of this movie, so I could be wrong. What if Will Smith is like, I'm a big star. I can make any movie I want. My good friend, Martin Lawrence's face, he's been stung 35 times by bees. he's struggling. He needs money for
EpiPens.
EpiPens.
He needs Benadryl, people. Please donate your Benadryl.
He's like, we'll just do another Bad Boys movie. If I want to do it, I have to let Martin Lawrence in.
I don't agree. I don't think so, because though that would make, that is a very noble reason why one would make the film.
Yeah.
He had a string. Now, obviously, just because movies came out earlier than this doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, this hadn't already been a motion. I know they've been trying to make this movie for a really, really long time. But he had bombed with Gemini Man the year before this.
Yeah.
He had bombed with Bright a couple years before that.
Oh, man.
He had bombed with Suicide Squad a year before that.
Mm. Yeah.
He had bombed with After Earth a few years before that.
Yeah. The Will Smith sci-fi brand was not doing very well.
So the last movie of a large scale where he was like the star that
was
did
successful.
Well, I would be, what, Men in Black 3?
Boy, is that true? I think you're right. Okay. All right. I'm listening.
So he had been in
10
some
years,
other movies, but
years.
Not like a really like big tentpole thing. I guess Concussion is like an effort to win an Oscar. I don't remember. I don't know a single person who has seen that movie.
No, I haven't. They were concussed.
I think it is, and I'll tie this back into Midlife Crisis too. I think that him and Tom Cruise, and hey, what do they have in common? Allegedly, don't sue us, don't sue us. Like, as time went on, and you know, this has a lot of just the internet and us knowing things. Like, people did not accept them in like romantic movies anymore, and those used to be their bread and butter, and so then they have to go back to the action. Well, like Tom Cruise, except for like Edge of Tomorrow, like he's got the sequelitis too. He can't do like a Jerry Maguire anymore. No,
American Made is okay, actually,
but that wasn't a hit. That wasn't a hit. Sure. Like I'm saying, like back in the day, both of these guys. Like Will Smith is doing like Hitch.
Yeah, he could mix in a Jerry Maguire here and there.
Yeah, like both of these guys at their peak were like top of the world. Like, oh, I can do a romantic comedy slash dramedy. I can do sci-fi blockbusters. And then just the world, just as time went on and we kind of realized more things, like you guys are weirdos and I don't want to see you in romantic stuff. they're pretty much one and the same. It's just Tom Cruise had a better franchise to go back into. And he had his boy, Christopher McQuarrie.
Yeah,
Will Smith does not have a Christopher McQuarrie.
Yeah, instead he picked the two guys that also directed the shelved Batgirl movie.
But yeah. Then you could argue the other one would be like 1 year later, Will Smith does win an Oscar.
Well.
I mean, you know, kind of blew it at that point.
Yeah,
but
kinda.
He did win it. You know what I mean? He did literally win an Oscar
one year after this. Yeah. Well. But so to bring it back around, I mean, Tom Cruise in real life is essentially Mike Lowry in that he's trying to get himself killed so he doesn't have to slow down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that's where like Will Smith is at now, especially after his Oscar meltdown. Mm. Like, is he going to go to space to make a movie? Is he just going to do some ridiculous? Because like both of them are just extremely broken people. And like, I'm not like, I don't think it's all their fault. By the way, is David Miscavige still missing?
Like, we have no comment on David Miscavige the Church of Scientology on this podcast.
Yeah, we are neutral towards them. But
you're right. Outside of King Richard, 2022, he made Emancipation, which apparently was an Apple TV movie that I've never heard of until now.
Antoine Fuqua film, if I recall correctly.
And then untitled fourth Bad Boys film coming out next year.
So it's really, in some ways, it's really kind of creepy how parallel they both are. I just think Tom Cruise had the better franchise to stick with.
Yeah.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah. That's I like that. I like that. I mean, like, that segues well into, you know, these older Hollywood stars that keep doing action films.
Yeah.
Like
our great-grandfather, Liam Neeson.
What we need more than anything is to form lay siege to Hollywood, mm-hmm. and cut off all shipments of hormone therapy to force these gentlemen to age more gracefully, because it's getting out of hand. Every action movie stars a guy in his 60s, 70s, or 80s now, and I've had it. Yeah. Denzel Washington has one out right now as we're recording this.
Yeah.
Pass the damn torch, guys.
Over the span of 20 minutes of watching sports last week, saw a commercial for The Expendables 4 and Equalizer 3. It's like that Michael Jordan gif, like, stop it. Yeah. Get some help. Well, I feel like these movies would have been straight to video in the 80s and 90s, where they belong. Charles Bronson was not getting wide release films when he was 78, if he even lived that long. Right? Charles Bronson was making like Death Wish 17 or something, yeah. And it was just went right to the blockbuster budget rack.
I fully agree. Like it's more undignified than anything they did during their prime. And they're like,
so the last Charles Bronson movie was Death Wish 5, The Face of Death. He was 73 when that came out.
What was the budget?
Was $5 million. The box office was 1.7.
Okay, boy. Exactly. If you qualify for Medicare, then in at least in this day of age, you are only allowed to release films on Redbox.
What about this? What about you cannot be a senator unless you can also star in an action movie?
Yeah. Okay. Fine. That's a good way where we meet in the middle here. You can you can run for Senate.
Yep.
If you can talk Stallone into letting you be in an Expendables movie.
Yep. Mitch McConnell.
Mitch McConnell's going to be like the dude that gets hit by the car in RoboCop. He's just going to freeze up in the road.
Just going to explode.
Oh, they ran over a turtle. So my point here is just we have too many action stars. I'm always skeptical of like thinking like it's different now, but it does feel different. Like these movies are, I have to watch television commercials for them. They won't go away. Harrison Ford put on his Indiana Jones costume again.
Here's why. People don't smoke and drink as much as they used to. And so they live way too long.
Okay. I'm excited to see where you go with this.
Okay. Well, you think about like for early Hollywood stars, right? Like action stars. Because that's like a recent thing. Steve McQueen, didn't need to worry about, dead at 50. You know what I mean? Like, you're just like, he burned out. It's dead.
Yeah, he went to a quack doctor in Mexico to cure his cancer or something, famously, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even like, how old was John Wayne when he died?
Well, he 72. Moved like he was 89 years old.
Yeah, I think yeah. I think he had a lung removed and then just held on for a while.
I'm just saying, like, there's not a lot, like, there's not really a whole lot of models of, like, even like, listen.
Look,
even Aunt Clint Eastwood is still doing things. But, like, is Gene Hackman the only, like, guy who's in, like, action movies that, like, just kind of went away nicely?
Yeah, and even he
didn't overstay.
Like, and even he just put in his time where it's like, all right, I'm just going to play a grandpa over and over again for a few years, and then I'm going to move to Arizona or New Mexico.
I mean, I guess he's probably he's like 6 years old and Unforgiven, I bet.
Yeah.
So it's like he's young and Unforgiven. But, like, there's not any models for these people to look at on what you do if you're an action star, like how you age gracefully.
Don't do anything. Go be rich.
Yeah. Okay, I think being rich seems fun. I would like to do that.
Could just go be a movie star. Like, how many years has, like, Jack... I mean, first of all, George Clooney's barely even in movies anymore, right? But, like, he can show up at a Lakers game or something, or a Knicks game, and people still lose their minds, right? Jack got wheeled out of his house last season and went to a Lakers game. Like, just enjoy being, maybe one of the last generations of, like, true, like... elite international movie stars where you can still be this famous in your 70s. Like, Stallone can do that.
Right.
Schwarzenegger can do that. Are today's stars going to be able to bank on being this famous still when they're this old? Probably
That's
not.
That's a great question. Probably not. No, probably not.
I'm trying to think of any. The Rock is already pretty old.
Yeah.
By action star standards,
oh, like
I guess.
Young action stars. I mean, one of the Chris's, but they're probably in their like 30s, right?
They're all pushing 40 at least. Like they're our age, which I mean, you know,
that's fine.
They're halfway through their career then.
Yeah,
yeah. So they're really young, like we are.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I think the reason I wanted to talk about this movie was I think it's fascinating to watch. Like, obviously, sometimes the aging Hollywood star thing is really sad, and it's really, obviously, quite often really, really unfair, particularly to women. But
when they roll them out there for the Oscars, and we got to
like, you know, they can't get jobs once they
turn
30 and stuff, right?
That too.
I just think, like, this seems to be a unique decade of a generation of true stars. Just abandoning all semblance of dignity in the name of making a dollar. But again, I don't understand, though.
I don't even know. I think there's just a point where maybe they just want to be out of the house and they like working. Because, like, for a long time, like, people like De Niro and Pacino were... I mean, they're not action stars, but they're stars of that caliber. They were
Will Smith doesn't want to be home when Jada Pinkett's nailing that guy.
Oh, man.
allegedly.
But you had
we
these...
need to toss in allegedly there?
Allegedly. That's been rumored on the internet.
So you have some stars who for years were super, super picky about what they did, and then one day everything, like look at what Pacino and De Niro have done the last 10 years. It's like just a bunch of slop.
So maybe it's a divorce thing.
It might be. That's not cheap.
Isn't that why Bob Dylan still like tours so much?
Yeah, that might be. I feel like that's why Ewan McGregor finally went back to the Star Wars well, because he seems like he hates it, but then he got a very expensive divorce. He's like, yeah, I'll do this Obi-Wan series. Sure.
Yeah. I think that's probably...
So maybe what we need... more than like just, you know, the new generation to take over is we just need more relationship counselors in Hollywood
or less marriages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't get married. You know who we didn't mention on someone who's doing movies too old when he doesn't need to? This is perfect. Kurt Russell.
Mm.
Never married.
Just living happily with Goldie.
Oh, I was married, but like not married to Goldie.
But he's
Han,
not married. He was not married to Goldie.
Yeah, he just kind of dips back in once in a while. He's like, yeah, whatever. I'll do one of those stupid Marvel movies.
That's
because
he doesn't have any.
Can I buy a bigger house in Hawaii then? All right.
Play Santa Claus? Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, Kurt Russell's like, just like, to be clear, I'm not going to try in it.
Right.
And he didn't. And I, God bless him for not.
But he doesn't have to work to like keep up that money from a divorce. Because he doesn't have to worry about it. Smart.
Just King. Fun money.
Are we hearing like the birth of like men's rights, Rob? Here?
No. This was when we first did Tombstone Minute. Joe's big theory is that Tombstone is an anti-marriage movie, and Kurt Russell is the mastermind behind it.
Yeah,
that's true.
And that guy seems like he's had a wonderful life.
He's out there scrapping and yelling, having a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
Him and Goldie, they seem very happy.
They've been together as long as I've been alive.
Yeah.
I mean, Stallone married 3 times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I believe he's been with the same woman for a really long time, though.
Anything else we want to talk about on this movie itself? Bad Boys for Life.
I was just going to say, boy, what a movie to come out just a season or two before the George Floyd uprising. Like, what a timely movie. I love how this movie like dunks on ACLU rubber bullets.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even get into this. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, so obviously the one way, in many ways, especially the Martin Lawrence character, they lean into like just being old guys, right? They kind of do the Danny Glover Lethal Weapon thing, or he does right. Anyways.
Yeah. I mean, Will Smith is definitely Riggs, like he has a death wish, and
yeah.
Danny Glover, you know, or Martin Lawrence is like basically everything he says, I'm too old for this.
Yeah, so I get, again, like the first two Bad Boys movies are, you know, so stupid. Like, I don't really think it's possible for them to stay in your brain. But I don't remember them being this blatant a ripoff of Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
But this movie is Lethal Weapon, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
it's
even their dynamic with their boss, like everything about it's just like it's so overt that yeah. I think it has to be intentional.
I don't know. I think it's just lazy.
Yeah, I don't think it's like
I don't give it that much credit either.
No, I don't want to either, but it's really is stunning. And yet the other thing is like, okay, their big thing is they get teamed up with a special unit called Ammo.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And their problem with Ammo is that these cops are too woke.
Yep.
These Gen Z kids, they've got drones and rubber bullets.
You're sending in a drone instead of we're just going to run in there shooting stuff.
Yeah, that's really where the movie started.
The politics of this movie are I don't think they're smart enough to be trolling. I just think they're stupidly regressive. Its politics or its views haven't changed since the 90s.
Yeah.
This movie outlived Cops, the show. Does the title even make sense or the singing make sense?
Oh, yeah, that's a great point. No, it doesn't.
Like, yeah, I was wondering that too. Yeah.
So, like, it does to us because we're... virile middle-aged men,
yeah.
But to like Gen Z, they're like, what is this song they're always singing? Like, Cops has been off the air for like 15 years. Granted, it ran for like 30.
That's a really good point. But yeah, like, even the Bad Boys thing doesn't even make sense.
Like, these movies are like cicadas in their timing. The first one was the first one came out in what, 95?
Yeah, 95. So it's then, 25 years.
And then think of how much the world changed in 95 to whatever 2006, 7 when the next one is. And then like a good almost a decade and a half later you get this one. Like is almost 30 years, like 27 years. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a good point. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Well, is there this question we ask often? Do you see any elements of your own middle-aged mythology in these characters?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm not old yet. Everyone else is. Yeah, you still feel that impulse to like prove you can still move around like you could when you were 25. Like I know that I'm not. And those like moments of denial are brief, but I still feel them sometimes. Like that desire to prove that you can still do what you could do when you were younger. Absolutely. But I don't think it is like a pathological state that has any real serious negative consequences. I think a little bit of that is normal.
Okay, so question of Mike Lowry. let's take this movie before his ex witch daddy's baby's mama
drug cartel and mafioso that he was supposed to be infiltrating that guy's wife that he impregnated, but then later she turned on him.
Right. Pretend that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
everyone is still giving Mike Lowry a hard time about his life, but he seems quite happy with his life. So part of me is like, just let him live this life. They're like, oh, you got to settle down. He seems happy. No, he doesn't. Nothing about him seems like he needs to settle down.
He has a baller apartment.
He seems quite at peace with what he's doing in life.
He seems like this is the only thing he wants to do and is good at.
Right. And everyone's like, oh, you got to settle down. Like, he doesn't. Yeah. He doesn't have to do that. He can just keep doing this. That's fine. Yeah.
Even after he got shot.
It's up to him. He's not hurting anyone else.
Literally got Joey Pants killed.
Yeah. Well, that's because of the whole, you know, witch cartel mother child thing.
And, okay, I would say that that's fair for you to say live and let live, but he does not extend that same courtesy to his best friend.
That's fair. That's a good point. They both should maybe just let each other live their lives the way they want. That's a great point, which they don't. Neither one.
I don't think they're good friends to each other.
I would say one of those things is a significantly kinder impulse than the other. One saying, you were just shot by experimental bullets and almost died in my arms. Uh-huh. And then Will Smith would say to the other one, your crime is that you want to retire and spend more time with your family and grandkid.
He makes fun
of him for getting emotional at holding his first grandbaby.
Yeah.
So, Rob, I'm starting to think maybe you haven't fully thought all this through yet. Mike Lowry seems deeply unwell to me.
He's just having a good time.
But why would you want to inflict him onto someone? Like, what if you had a friend who you're like, oh,
yeah, you wouldn't set them up with Mike Lowry.
You would not set them up with Mike Lowry because you know, like, well, this marriage is going to fail.
In the opening car chase thing, which, again, I don't even remember what the point were. Who were they chasing?
We don't know. Oh, no, they were trying to get to the hospital for the kid to be born.
Yeah.
And they were getting chased by cops, or was that their escort?
That was just their escort. And they were just doing cool car pranks. Yeah.
Okay, they're doing car
classic
pranks.
Car pranks on the way.
They probably killed at least three people racing to the hospital. Yeah. Didn't a car flip on an intersection at one point?
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's another point in the live and let against live and let live. He almost gets 1,000 people in downtown Miami.
I didn't know you were against car pranks.
So you want to hook this guy up with your girlfriend from work or something? It's like, I know this guy. He's extremely fit, very good looking, has his own place.
Loves his job.
Has some obsession issues.
Okay, I did have a quick question. Just a strict movie question. All right. Yeah. So obviously one of the points of this movie, and we're going to kind of give Martin Lawrence a break here because, again, what else was he going to do?
Oh, yeah. If you're Martin Lawrence, you absolutely sign up for this.
And to be clear, I also would have signed up for it. So,
oh, yeah.
No. Does Will Smith still have it?
It's impossible. I mean, I think as much as he ever did. I think it's even if we don't want to admit it, everything is viewed through this our stupid society and our reaction to the slap, of which we're a part of. Like, it's all... Yeah. It's all just permeated our brain, and it's impossible.
I don't know if it has for me. Like, I don't even think that really, like, crossed my mind while I was watching this movie. Does that make me, like, really weird?
I don't know.
I'm not saying that you guys are weird either or anyone else.
I'm just saying that's, like, the last public moment he's had.
Yeah.
Like, the last thing that we can see him of is he slapped Chris Rock and won an Oscar.
Because absolutely no one saw the movie he won an Oscar for.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, it's also, like, literally, imagine... It's insane. Like, if that happened any other... Like, if you were just like, oh, remember that big actor? And then they slapped someone and won an Oscar, and then we didn't see them for 2 years? It's weird.
So just trying to set that aside. You know, just like, this was a big-budget action movie. Mm-hmm. He starred in it. Does he still have it? I have a really firm answer on this, but I'm curious to see what
I would like... Like, my answer is I don't know, because this movie's so bad... I feel like this would be like showing me The Wall with Matt Damon and being like, does he still have it? And be like, I don't think so, but let's see him in something good.
Yeah. I will say Will Smith, how old is he now? 50 something?
Yeah.
I mean, he's 54.
I mean, he is aging well.
Yeah.
I think physically he still has it. Part of my annoyance with this movie, and I think Bad Boys in general, is that you can't do buddy cop with two comedians. in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, you need, there's no straight man. It's just like back and forth. And so it's hard, you know, so when I say as much as he ever did, like, I mean, this is stupider than the original Bad Boys, I think, but
yes, absolutely.
But I mean, they're all like, none of them are great. Like, no. I think Will Smith is very, well, here's an example, Men in Black. You have a straight man. You have Tommy Lee Jones. He's way better in that.
Yeah.
So I would say with the proper director project, I think, yes, he still has it as kind of a quippy action star. Nothing dark, nothing brooding, which this is very much of the time.
So, all right. Well, Rob, what do you think?
I think it's hard to tell. I'm not out on him. What do you mean? Does he still have it as an action star, or does he still have it as a charismatic movie star?
Well, I mean, I would say that, I guess I mean both, but just, I think his only route to staying relevant as a movie star, I guess, like you said, he did just win an Oscar, but I would also say, I don't think that really means much anymore. No one saw that movie. I didn't even remember what it was. And so I guess so I think his only route, like, I don't know what his route is going forward.
It's blockbusters or bust. Like, that, I can't see him doing. He's never been a great dramatic actor. So
and the only reason to do movies, like, I don't know, like, part of what allows those movies to maybe have like an audience is the awards attention, but he's not going to get that for a while. I mean, people will forget about it. And then he'll get a standing ovation when he wins an Oscar in like 8 years or something.
Right.
Like, you know, it's
Roman Polanski got a standing ovation.
We gave Mel Gibson a nomination like 2 years ago for some stupid war movie that I can't remember.
Heartbreak Ridge.
Yeah.
So
if we can forgive Mel Gibson, we can forgive Will Smith.
Right.
By the way, fair. I haven't. Like,
yeah.
Mel Gibson should be cast aside forever.
Yes. Agreed.
I think his whole sense of humor, and I found it very hard, difficult to articulate this, but I think, like, his entire sense of humor and cadence of speech and everything just seems almost overwhelmingly dated. Like, I don't think anybody talks like that anymore. And his whole sense of humor,
he's a goof.
Yeah, and that sort of goofiness has not changed in, like, 30 years. Mm. And so, like, all of his attempts to be funny in this movie just rang so hollow. None of it landed. And I don't think it's... I mean, obviously, this movie being bad doesn't help. I don't think he's capable of making people laugh anymore.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that's a good point. I mean, I think, you know, you have to remember, like,
I sure didn't laugh at him in this movie. There were a couple of Martin Lawrence bits where I laughed.
And a lot of his humor kind of, like, and correct me if I'm not remembering this correctly, but a lot of it depended on him being an audience surrogate and reacting to the ridiculous things he was seeing and experienced, like someone in the audience would, like an Independence Day or Men in Black, you know, just being like, no way is this happening to me or something, yeah. You know, stuff like that. And to his charm could carry that across the finish line. But, like, you can't, like, still be acting that way, I guess, as someone, like, you know, like, totally out of your element or just sort of, like, winking and nodding when you're, like, 50-something. I just don't think it works anymore.
All right.
Yeah.
I have found out what he's doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
National Geographic announced that he will star in a series titled Pole to Pole, which is on Disney Plus, and it will follow Will Smith and his film crew as they go on a trek from the South Pole to the North Pole, crossing all the Earth's biomes.
God damn, I'm so good. Remember earlier when I was comparing them and I'm like, how Tom Cruise is trying to kill himself because he doesn't know what else to do?
Yep.
That's, God, I'm so good.
That does seem like something that was pitched to him by an army of publicists. Like,
absolutely,
this
is whatever. Yeah.
This will make everyone forget because they'll get to see the real you and how hard you work and how much you want to learn.
Yeah. Incredible. Awesome.
God, what a perfect world. Hollywood.
So I do want Duff to talk about this monologue because,
oh boy.
He reminds me of it, I'd say, every 5 to 7 years.
Well, that's way better than I thought. I was about to be embarrassed. I'm like, 5 to 7 years? I'll take that.
whenever I am reminded of it, I still can't believe it happened.
All right, done.
So, for anyone who's not aware, Martin Lawrence, and I put 95, I think it was 94. So this was like even pre-Bad Boys. This is when he had his show, Martin, which was a kind of a cultural touchstone. It was like there was like a wave of black sitcoms, and he was a big star. And he went on SNL and gave quite a monologue, one that got so controversial that it was later, like when they reran it on Comedy Central, they took out bits because, I'm not going to quote it, but I will say that he talks about feminine hygiene. He talks about, I'll say what SNL later edited in. They say, at this point in his monologue, Martin begins a commentary on what he considers the decline in standards of feminine hygiene in this country. Neither we, it's SNL, take no stand one way or the other. Network policy prevents us from rebroadcasting this portion of his remarks. And then there's another paragraph, and then I think this is very funny. It says, it was a frank and lively presentation and nearly cost all of us our jobs. We now return to the conclusion of Martin's monologue. And then they cut back to a guy,
this is my favorite part.
Just, I don't know if he was on coke, but man, like, is just huge.
I don't think there's any other explanation.
Like, just huge Dirk Diggler energy. And for, it makes it all the more funny that the guest that week was Crash Test Dummies.
Yeah. So he comes back to say, we've got a great show for you. That's right. I'm here. Crash Test Dummies are here.
Uh-huh.
That's just the absolute funniest.
And he does karate moves.
And then he rips off his shirt and like does karate, like martial arts moves, and then cut to commercial.
The amazing thing about the monologue is I didn't get through it all because Duff sent me the text for it. And it starts with him defending the Bobbitt in the Lorena Bobbitt thing, like defending the man.
Basically, he's like saying, what's wrong with our culture now? Guys are just getting their
ding-dongs cut off or whatever he uses. I don't remember what phrase he uses.
He calls it their pilly packers.
This was kind of like, and to be fair, like, this was how he, you know, this was his bread and butter. Like, he's a Def Comedy Jam guy. So to a certain extent, I'm like, well, SNL, that's on you. That's a poor choice. But yeah, he went into I think it was a bit from one of his albums. I will say the last two lines, again, he's referring to female hygiene. He says, come up with dough all on your damn lip. Got a bagel and a croissant on your lip. Anybody got any butter? I like jelly on mine. But look here, we got a great show for you. Crash Test Dummies are here.
God, we have a great show for you. Crash Test Dummies are here is the perfect thing to say whenever any of us says a joke that doesn't land.
Yeah.
We're going to have a great show. Crash Test Dummies are here.
If this is from one of his albums, then it does make a little bit more sense. But like, if you read the transcript here, it really does seem like he's high out of his mind and he just had a really bad date the night before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
or a really bad bagel.
Martin, I did remember some of this, but if you go to his Wikipedia, like, he was kind of like the Kanye meltdown of his era.
Yes.
Like, he had a lot of run-ins with, he liked guns.
Yes. He's got an arrest, lawsuits, and health problems section of Wikipedia, which you never want one of those sections.
One thing I was not aware of, though, that Rob alerted me to the other night. Rob, you should share this, because
Oh, my.
In 99.
This is so good.
He had a coma for 3 days because he collapsed from heat exhaustion, which is, you know, a shame. But the reason is it was 100 degrees out, and he was wearing heavy clothing and a plastic suit during his jog to train for Big Mama's.
He was wearing the Big Mama.
Think he was wearing the actual suit for Big Mama's.
Imagine he was wearing the actual suit.
That's canon, Joe. That's canon. Yeah.
Okay. He was wearing the wig. Yeah.
Yep. Whole thing.
Yep.
And then he almost died.
He was in a coma for 3 days.
He was on a ventilator.
God.
He almost died for Big Mama's house.
That could have been our. We could have had a whole season on Big. On it could have been part of the season of like when movies attack. We could have had a Big Mama's house episode.
I want you guys to go back in time about 6 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're 34 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And for work, you have to go for a run in heavy clothing and a plastic suit to get ready for Big Mama's house. Like, that's your job. And you almost die for it.
Amazing.
I wake up 3 days later and in a hospital. I'm like, oh, what happened?
Your temperature had gone up to 107.
To be fair, that movie was a big hit, so it was worth it.
Oh. And this is after, you know, his, like, SNL thing. So think of, like, that dude, and then his brain literally gets fried.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Oh, my God. I forgot about some of his movies. Then the next year you have Black Knight. Yeah, that Tom Wilkinson was in somehow. Yeah.
Didn't he make a movie with Danny DeVito?
Probably.
That sounds right. All right. We got to wrap this up. We finished Midlife Crisis. We're done.
We came through.
We talked about a Martin Lawrence movie, and it wasn't Wild Hogs for this.
It wasn't Wild Hogs. A movie of Martin Lawrence and about Midlife Crisis, and it was not Wild Hogs. We have a wonderful patron has paid us $50 to talk about a movie, so that's probably going to be the next thing. If you're interested in that, you go to patreon.com/themidnightboys.
We need more wealthy benefactors.
We love the wealthy benefactors. Yeah. Love them. Also, it's my turn to pick a season.
It is.
And, you know, it's we've been doing Midlife Crisis right now. We're gonna go a little lighter this time. Mm-hmm. And it's related to this movie. So if we want, Joe, we could do Bad Boys 2.
I don't want to.
I don't either.
I don't want to.
But I was thinking, I was inspired. Joe, remember when we did the Bond season?
Yep.
And you came up with a way to figure out who's the best Bond?
I do.
You had the Bond rating.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time that we do the same thing for this next season. We're going to create our own rating. And I don't know what it's going to be yet, but for now I'm going to call it the buddy rating. It's time to figure out the best buddy cop movies.
Do the buddies both have to be cops?
No.
So we could talk about Midnight Run.
They also can be animals.
Mm-hmm. So like Homeward Bound?
No. But
there, Joe, there. If
oh,
you
I
stop
see what
it,
you
there
mean.
Are.
I thought you meant like all animals.
No. No,
there, it could be a.
So every
is it
way
Children, Kane, like Cop and a Half?
Yeah, could be that James Belushi movie with the dog Canine. Tammy and the T Rex.
Turner and Hooch. Yeah. Could be right. Yeah, the Whoopi Goldberg and the T Rex one. Listen, there's a lot. I haven't figured out what we're gonna do.
All right, I'm getting some paper out, so I need to come up with a buddy rating. Just writing.
So you didn't have enough Bad Boys. You need more buddy cops.
Well, I had this idea before we did Bad Boys.
Not that I'm against this. I love me like a buddy cop movie.
I mean, when I told Duff this and he sent me the Whoopi Goldberg T-Rex one, I was like, oh, man. Yeah. I forgot that there's a movie called Theodore Rex that has Whoopi Goldberg.
Okay, yeah, that's right. It's Theodore Rex. Tammy and the T-Rex might be one of those like dino erotica things that I've read about. Let's get
dino
the research.
Erotica?
Let's get the research staff on
dino
this right
erotica.
Now. Are you guys? I mean, Joe.
No, yeah. No, I know.
It's a thing, Joe. As a Twitter, as someone who's slummed the depths of Twitter, I figured you knew about the dino erotica.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I've seen it.
Yeah. So I mean, the crux of it is that people ironically self-publish these books on Amazon, and then they make a lot of money because people ironically buy them. It's a beautiful system.
Wow. Man, now that Rob brought this up, I'm reminded that Martin Lawrence was in another buddy cop movie. Like Bad Boys isn't even his only one.
Nope.
Blue Streak.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
So if we're tossing out movies, I do have really fond memories of Bulletproof, but I'm guessing that one does not.
Oh my God.
Well at all.
Oh, me too, Joe. Me too.
I haven't seen it.
We got to listen. We will go, you know, we'll go to the whiteboard. We're going to figure this out. But in the meantime,
I mean, people,
we'll have...
they're allowed to, you know, send us what you want. I mean, we're probably not going to listen to you, but you can send it
you
to
can,
us.
That's a great point. You go to freepodcast.com. You go right there as a contact us. You can fill out a form. I get an email. And if it's good, I'll tell the other guys about it.
Yeah,
and if
sometimes,
it's not, I won't.
Sometimes he lets us know.
Sometimes I don't.
Guys, before we go, I have to make an important clarification. There is a movie called Tammy and the T-Rex. It is not dinosaur erotica. Okay. That is, it stars Denise Richards and Paul Walker. It was made in 1994.
Before he died?
Yes, that's how it works.
Well, I didn't know if it was like a buddy cop movie with a corpse.
But I think what did infiltrate my brain was the dinosaur erotica called Taken by the T-Rex.
Oh my God. Your brain has things that doesn't need in it.
I would, and again, like I figured Joe knew about this, but there's
I don't.
Okay. Well, we know what we're doing.
Oh my God. This cover's so funny.
I just needed to clear this up before. I didn't want to put misinformation out there. It's a problem.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Maybe we'll do this one of these books. It's only 16 pages.
Like I said, it's all just an ironic grift, and some people have made a lot of money. Oh my God,
this description.
All right, we got to put an end to this. Listeners, Patreon.com.
Can I just read one sentence from it?
Sure. Taken by the T-Rex.
When the angry T-Rex corners the huntress in a box canyon, it seems more interested in her wet womanhood than in her flesh. Good stuff.
Who's among us?
Well, yeah.
All right. Listeners, you can go to Midnight Boys. So you can go to patreon.com/midnightboys. For $2, you can get access to a bunch more episodes, or you can also just go to freepodcast.com, see all of our episodes, and also, you know, send us a what buddy cop movie you think we should talk about. All right. Well, it's been wonderful going through a midlife crisis.
We're all fixed.
So are all our listeners.
No, we're normal and we're fine. Yep.